Pigskin Preview for 2016. It's the show where we go through all of our area high school football teams and set the stage for you ahead of Friday Night Lights for the 2016 season. For segment three, Mineral Area Football Conference time for the back half of the Pigskin Preview. We start with White. We'll talk to you, let's go alphabetical. That'd be interesting. Why not? Central, 11-3. A year ago, Corey Schweiss, the head coach, definitely some continued success under Coach Schweiss. They're going to start the season Friday against Sullivan, and that is a game that you can watch on Web TV come Friday night. We're going to send our Web TV crew out four games every Friday night across regional radio, and Central and Sullivan will square off on our first Web TV game of 2016. And for the Central Rebels, lost their quarterback, Jake Bridges, who was a phenomenal athlete, multiple-sport athlete. They also lose Drew Harlow. They lose a large chunk of their offense. They lose a very large chunk of their experience. And what's very, very interesting about this, when you ask Coach Schweiss about it, what you don't realize is there's a lot more experience on that Rebel team than I think we ever thought.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of weird. It does seem like we have a lot of guys back from last year, but at the same time, we don't have very many seniors this year, so it's kind of a double-edged sword. We must have been really young. You know, it was good. We had some seniors, some really good seniors last year that were able to bridge that gap between where we've been before and the young kids that we had last year, and, you know, they're a year older this year, a year stronger, so we're expecting big things out of them. But again, we're still relatively young because a lot of those kids that got experience last year were sophomores and some freshmen. So, you know, we've got some, we're going to lean in on our juniors a lot this year, and, you know, hopefully they can lead the way for us.
And one guy that Central is going to lean on this year, Jace Bland, taking over under center for Jake Bridges, and it will be under center kind of philosophy this season. We saw last year Central spread it out. Bridges, one of the better quarterbacks in the area. He was even throwing darts with a broken finger at the end of the year. Not a part of the squad this year. And when I first came to the area as part of the media, Central was a legit power football team that would run it down your throat. And it sounds like they might be getting back to that this year. But what can we expect out of Central for 2016?
Yeah, you know, I think we're going to be a mix of what we used to be and what we were last year. I think, Jace Bland has really stepped up and been, a leader and at the quarterback position. And I think we're going to be able to do more things than I thought we were going to be able to do this year at the end of last season, as far as throwing the football and utilizing a lot of the stuff that we did the last couple of years. But at the same time, I feel like our run game is going to be pretty potent. Our offensive line's a year older. So we're going to be able to do a lot of different things, hopefully offensively and defensively. I feel like, as far as the defensive end position, which is where Coach Jones likes to build his defense from, I feel pretty good about our defensive ends. And hopefully if we stay healthy, that's always a knock on wood. But, we don't have a lot of linebacker depth, but the linebackers we've got are I think, going to be able to step up and play pretty well. And we're going to be a little bit younger at the safety position this year, but, again, I think we've got some potential back there as well. So we've got some playmakers around, and it's just a matter of how well they produce during the season.
And for Park Hill Central, four consecutive 10-win seasons, and they've been knocked out in the final eight in all 4 years, and John Burroughs has just been an absolute thorn in their side. So maybe a change in philosophy, maybe getting back to the bread and butter, maybe just a new group of kids, and it might be Central's year to break through after finishing 11-3 a year ago and battling with St. Genevieve down the stretch in the district championship to advance on there. So for Central, we thought from the outside looking in that if you lose your quarterback, your leading rusher, and you're probably going to be pretty inexperienced, but sounds like that may not be the case. For 14 years heading up that program, I imagine the guys coming out for year one, year two, I mean, even guys that never played before, you got to feel confident with a 14-year coach.
I definitely think that's the case, especially when you're at one place for 14 years. you've established what you believe in. And that starts down from the bottom up. Middle school and all those kids going up, they know what Coach Swice is all about. They know what he expects from you. And I think that really benefits your team, especially with those younger kids when they do get a little bit of experience, because they can grow into it a little bit faster than you can with a coach that doesn't quite have it.
And a lot of times you have those players that have been there for some time under that coach, 3 years, 2 years, whatever it may be, and they know how to act, and everyone else falls in line behind him too. It's almost magical to watch when you have a coach like that, that he's a staple within the team, how the team itself has just become from, like, it basically produces itself into what he wants it to be.
You hit that almost dead on with that statement, because covering him for a handful of years now and just seeing the personality type, fun guy, first and foremost. So definitely a guy that could definitely rally the troops. But the only time you ever see him get upset with his players is when they have bonehead mistakes, the things where you don't need to shove this kid for no apparent reason because things weren't going well. That's the only situations that he ever really gets riled up over his players. So absolutely on point. So for Central, they'll be in Class 3 District 1 again this season, starting the two-year cycle after realignment. The only real thing there is St. Pius drops out and Salem, the addition to fill the void. And along with Central in Class 3 District 1 is Fredericktown. Fredericktown, man, talk about tough luck for Fredericktown a year ago. I had a game where Potosi beat them on a 45-yard just sling and prayer Hail Mary. I saw a game where it was just kind of finish it out, and things just bad breaks, tough bounces for Fredericktown a year ago and head coach Paul Sauer. Sean, you were the guy at the training camp, and it sounds like a lot of changes, but not really new people, kind of just moving things around.
Yeah, moving things around a little bit. Some new people coming in. They got Colton Rekop coming in to play quarterback now, and that's going to move Smith to the tight end position. He was the quarterback last year. They seem really confident in Smith as a tight end. Coach had a lot of praise for his hands, as he's got some of the best hands on the team, and he's a big body too. Anyone who's seen him, he's one of the biggest players on the team, so he's going to be a good blocker, I feel, as well, so long as he's aggressive enough, which can be, you know, a bit to ask for someone moving from quarterback to tight ends. You know, you go from, you know, don't touch him in practice to, dude, you got to punch the guy across from you in the face. What are you doing? Yeah, it's quite the change moving from quarterback to the O-line, basically, as a tight end. But they want to go back to what their identity of Fredericktown football used to be, which is a bit of, you know, a tough guy attitude. You know, they want to be known as that team that you're going to feel it the next day when you're done playing them. And you can tell from the intensity they had in the scrimmage they had against Farmington, in Farmington, that they really did get that intensity back. You know, they're throwing a lot of hits where you hear the pop, you know, you almost feel it a little bit yourself too. They're trying to get back to that hard-nosed football. And for any football team, especially if you're a team like Fredericktown, they're thin on picking. You know, they only have 8 seniors, 5 juniors. It's not like they're loaded with talent or loaded with depth. You got to be a little bit of that tough guy attitude to get by.
And that's definitely something that helped Fredericktown last year. Definitely one of those teams that when you asked other coaches, it was, oh, they're a tough football team, and you're going to feel it the next day. And some of the other changes behind the scenes for Fredericktown, come on the sidelines. Here's Coach Paul Sauer of the Black Hats.
Coach Mills went to the offensive side, and I took back over the defense. So hopefully, you know, that'll give us a little bit of a spark on both sides of the ball, and maybe a fresh pair of eyes is what we need. For the most part, you know, we both have similar philosophies, just, you know, a little bit different way of getting to it, and hopefully that you know, I think will spark the kids a little bit, and hopefully you know, get us a little more success on both sides of the ball.
And Sean mentioned about not a whole lot of depth on the Fredericktown Black Hats as far as senior leadership, even juniors for that matter. So who are the guys that Fredericktown will be relying on for this season?
Wimpy's a great kid. You know, he's one of those young men that is going to be successful in whatever he does. You know, he's a great personality, true leader, and you know, we have high hopes and big expectations out of Wimpy this year. You know, Matt's contributed quite a bit the last 2-3 years here for us, and this year, you know, we expect even bigger and better things. You know, he's going to be kind of the featured back on offense, and you know, he's the only secondary player we have returning. So, you know, we definitely going to need his leadership on the defensive side. Well, you know, we already talked a little bit about Cody Smith. He's making a big move, and he's handled that very well. A very mature young man in that regard. And Austin Dowd is another one that he's moved from a fullback or wide receiver position in years past, offensive guard. And, you know, it's going to be very important that, you know, we get some big contributions from those two guys. And Austin Harbison, you know, he brings a lot to our defensive line. He's going to be a big, big part of that. And, you know, we have a new young man moved in as a senior, Zach McFadden, that I think is going to help us out on both sides of the ball.
And for the Black Cats, they'll start the 2016 season with a familiar opponent in the Kenan Indians.
Well, you know, they're very talented, exceptionally well coached. Coach Pixley does a good job with them, and they're going to be a handful. You know, it's going to be a big test for us right out of the gate. And, you know, they lost their bread and butter last year, Mr. Wilson. And, you know, hopefully we can take advantage of the experience we do have up front on our defense and offensive line, and be able to compete with them up front. That's going to be a big key to us having some success.
For Fredericktown, they'll be back in Class 3 District 1. The only changes there, they lose St. Pius and add Salem. So let's move to Class 4 for just a hop, skip, and a jump. We'll go to Perryville. We'll look at what Coach Mike Voitzig has taken in his sixth season as they get set for the start Friday night, and they have DeSoto. But a question mark created on the offseason for Perryville at the quarterback position. So, Sean, what's going on out there behind Perryville's signal callers?
Brandon Renaud broke his ankle during the offseason. He's going to miss the beginning of the season, at least. He did have surgery on it as well, right about the time when I was showing up for the training camp report, too, is when he had surgery. So he's going to miss the first couple weeks of the season, but they got a lot of confidence in the backup quarterback, Ross Adler, and I had a little bit of a chance to watch him play. He played a little bit for them last year, too. They said, you know, they had some high praise for him. They think he'll do a good job, and it certainly helps when you got a receiver like Garrett Dix to throw to. That guy, yeah, I only got to see a couple plays out of him before I left in the scrimmage against Scott City, but he's got some sweet hands. He can really snag that ball.
And I think if you have a guy like Renaud go down, the offense after last season, definitely they were going to open it up and gear it around him. So I imagine that Coach Voitzig, tell us about the adjustments that you're going to have to make after the Renaud injury.
We've had to change some things up, obviously, because due to not having Brandon, you know, Ross is a little bit different style of quarterback, and, you know, we as a staff believe in the concept that you have to make your scheme fit your personnel, not try to make your personnel fit your scheme. So, you know, that's exactly what we've done, and kids have responded to it, and we've had marked improvement, and, you know, we're really excited about the direction that we're headed.
Talking about excitement, not only around Perryville Pirates, let's talk about excitement around Perry County for this season, as for the first time in quite a while, St. Vincent and Perryville will square off on the gridiron.
Yeah, and that's certainly a game to watch. You know, no one, at least on the teams, is too excited about it yet. The coaches, both of them, Coach Voitzig as well as Coach Nathan Rowland of the St. Vincent Indians, doing a very good job of keeping their teams head forward, keeping the blinders on 1 week at a time. Let's worry about the Jamboree. Now they're worrying about week one. In a few days, they'll be worried about week two. That's week five matchup. So they got some time before they face off against each other. But there is still a little bit of buzz coming into the season, at least, as there always is. You can't avoid all of it. But they are doing a good job of, you know, keeping the horse's head straight, keeping the blinders up, not letting them, you know, circle that and start talking about that a month before the game actually happens.
And talking with Coach Voitzig, it seems like he's got his team focused on week one.
Well, you know, they've got several starters coming back off of last year's team. I do know that they graduated, I think it was 20-plus seniors last year. You know, they've got a really nice athlete, a wide receiver. Their quarterback does a good job. They run a spread-style offense, and, you know, they try to get their athletes into space and take advantage of their athletic ability. And, you know, we're going to have to be clicking on all cylinders.
And for the Perryville Pirates, they will open the season hosting the DeSoto Dragons. But the big picture outlook as far as realignment goes for Perryville in Class 4 District 1, no changes for Class 4 District 1. So everything looks pretty good as far as that goes. And you look at last year's Class 4 District 1 standings, and Perryville finished fifth a year ago in the district. So it'll be interesting to see how they bounce back without Renaud and trying to have to readjust right before the season gets underway.
He is expected to come back at some point during the season, though. He's not gone for the entire year. I'd want to make that clear, but they're going to start the year without him. And as I said earlier, and with any football team, you're going to go as far as your quarterback takes you. So of all positions to lose, unfortunately, that's the worst. But I think Garrett Dix and Renaud, once Renaud comes back, those two are going to be fun to watch working together.
Oh, absolutely. And it seems like a common theme. We didn't have a whole lot of experienced quarterbacks in the listening area, and the ones that had some experience won't be there week one. We'll dive more into that later in the Pigskin Preview. We're going to take a quick pause. We'll have a handful more schools coming your way. We'll go to Potosi and St. Genevieve before we end segment three. It's the Pigskin Preview on J98 The Boot.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
This year, I want to grow vegetables I can actually eat.
I talk with Kat about watering and soil. I even suggested she plant beans because they release nitrates that nourish the soil.
Ace is the place to learn beans really are the magical fruit.
Now through Monday only, print out the coupon at acehardware.com and get 25% off on regular priced item under $50. Offer valid through May 9th at participating stores. Limit one, exclusions apply, see coupon. Must present coupon to redeem offer.
Hi, this is Don Bollinger at your new Festus Pastas Italian restaurant and bar. Join us for all Cardinals games in the bar or on our outdoor patio area. Anytime the Cardinals play day or night, Pasta House late night menu is in play with $10 buckets of beer, 16-ounce Pasta House red draft beer for only $2, and half-price pizzas all throughout the game. That's right. Enjoy baseball in the bar or on our patio and get food and drink specials the entire time. Only at your Festus Pasta House Italian restaurant and bar, just off I-55, Highway A, Festus, Missouri. Go Cardinals!
Or on the road, off the road, or on the waterfront, it's got to be Midwest Sports Center in Farmington. And speaking of that, Big Steve, I understand you're real excited about a new Can-Am product coming out.
Oh, that's right. Can-Am's got the ultimate side-by-side sport machine coming. It's called the new Maverick X3. They've been releasing some teaser clips. We don't know exactly how fast or what horsepower it's going to be, but what they released so far, it looks awesome.
Stop by and see Big Steve for all your on-the-road, off-the-road, or on-the-water fun at Midwest Sports Center in Farmington.
Don't miss the good old truck and tractor pulls Saturday, August 20th at the Jefferson County Fairgrounds, Highway 21 in Hillsboro. Calling all local pullers, it's open class, non-sanctioned, with 100% payout. Sled provided by Cal Mankey. Gates open at 5 with pulling at 6. And there's live entertainment from Hound in the RWZ Pavilion at 9. Gate admission is just $5. Kids 6 and under are free. That's the good old truck and tractor pulls Saturday, August 20th in Hillsboro. Go to jeffersoncountyfair.net for more information.
The Pigskin Preview. You've got to tune to J98 The Boot. Me, I'm one half of your hosting staff. I'm Greg Armbruster, the sports director at the St. Francis County and South portion of regional radio. Across the way, Will Cheshire. You cover the north half.
Jefferson County, that's right. All things Jefferson County sports.
I cover all of them. Jefferson, St. Francis, St. Jen, Perry, Madison. We love you all.
There's the ego speaking again.
Who didn't I say? St. Genevieve. So let's talk about their high school football team. Leave my ego alone, would you? St. Gen coming off of a 10-2 season last year under head coach Ken White going into year number two. And St. Gen, man, they had so much experience on that team a year ago. Two stud running backs, Brewer and Rowe. Not back this season, and unfortunately, we talked about Perryville not having Renaud. It's going to be a kind of a similar situation for St. Genevieve. Here's Coach Weick on the injury situation at quarterback.
Last baseball game he played this summer in his own he injured it and went to the doctor and had it looked at, and that, and you know, they're trying to do some rehab and strengthen him and see what he can do as far as, you know, getting him strengthened and getting him better that way. You know, obviously we feel for Wyatt, but you know, I'm worried about the kid and how he recuperates and how he does mentally and physically. So we're pulling for him, and hopefully he'll get better in a hurry and see what he can do as far as his baseball season will, you know, be this year. Now, right now he's just trying to get it strong and kind of see where it goes, you know, and if it works out that he could do something, that'd be great. But I'm not really counting on it. You know, I don't think that, you know, it'd be real realistic. You know, a partial ACL tear is still an ACL tear, so it's going to be a long rehab for him. And but he's doing good with that, and you know, we're just kind of seeing where it's going to go.
And without Wyatt being under center for St. Genevieve, I imagine the offense going to change quite a bit. But who's the guy that's going to take over for him is the question. And early indication, Brandon Henson will be the guy under center for the Dragons.
Well, you know, Brandon Henson was always our next guy. So he was in line, and he was taking snaps with Wyatt anyway. So, it, you know, he just kind of stepped up. And Brandon's a senior. He was Wyatt's backup last year also, you know. Like got hurt a couple years ago, and as a sophomore, and Brandon stepped in and took some snaps, and you know, took some last year, so he's got a little bit of experience. But he's who we've got taking most of the snaps right now.
And that, I mean, of all of the probably returning experienced quarterbacks, Wyatt might have been at the top of that list for guys that you expected to really turn the corner and have a breakout season. And he was very dynamic offensively, and we'll see how that will affect the offense for St. Genevieve with now Brandon Henson taking over. One thing that I think you might be able to be safe in thinking about St. Genevieve this year is the defense is going to be pretty good. And one of the, we talked about Clinton earlier, one of the comments he made during the camp. Henson had a pretty great comment describing the secondary, used the phrase stupid fast. So St. Genevieve's secondary, according to Brandon Henson, is stupid fast. So we'll see how he's going to adjust on taking over under center. But as a big picture outlook, how does Coach Wyke feel about the conference, the schedule, and the 2016 season?
Our conference, I really like it. I mean, it's a great conference, and it's a good conference to be in, but, man, it's tough as heck. And week in, week out, once you get in the conference play, the Potosi's, Fredericktown's, the Park Hills, you know, it's going to be tough for us. And I kind of look forward to that because our kids have to step up every week. They have to do certain things just to be successful, you know, in the area. You know, you got Valley right across the town, and, you know, that how big a game that is for us and how hard we have to work just for that game. So when you play those kind of teams, you know, I think we all play to try to get somewhere in districts and get in the playoffs and do things there and have some success. Well, you have to play some tough games before that, and I think our conference and our schedule really sets us up for that.
Well, a couple of things to definitely put on the notes for St. Genevieve, the absence of the two veteran running backs from a year ago, and Rowe and Brewer. Now you don't have what you expected to be your senior signal caller in Wyatt Lallemandeer. So now what are the overall thoughts for the Dragons from Coach Wyke's perspective?
Young. We're kind of, I don't want to say rebuilding, but we gotta reload on a lot of positions, so. We got a lot of kids fighting for spots, which is good. We've got good numbers this year. Our numbers are up, and, you know, we graduated a bunch of good kids last year, and we knew that. We knew when we played a lot of seniors, but the good thing is our younger kids developed that good attitude last fall, actually, as soon as we kind of said goodbye to our seniors and they started working. And so you know how it is this time of year. You look pretty good, but then again, you're playing against yourself, so. We'll find out a little bit here Friday, and then we'll, as the season goes, you know, it's one of them teams I think that's definitely going to get better as the season goes on. They need experience, but they're all pretty eager to do it, so we're pretty excited.
And a year ago, it was St. Genevieve sitting on top of the district standings at the end of the year. They got knocked off by Central in the postseason. And when you look inside of Class 3 District 1, one of the teams that floated around the middle of the pack a year ago that might be poised to take that step forward are the Potosi Trojans, and head coach Mark Casey going into his 10th year as the head coach of the Potosi Trojans. Can we do a round of applause for Coach Casey? That's your 10-year applause, Coach Casey. The Trojans get started this Friday night. They have Owensville, and that will be our first J98 broadcast game of the season. Potosi hosting Owensville. And Sean, I know you and both Jordan Slocum are doing quite a bit of research and everything to get ready for this game. So what are some of the early thoughts about Friday night?
I'm looking forward to really seeing how Potosi is going to do with the two running backs that they have in the backfield. They got some good depth even behind them as well. One of their top running backs from last year is actually listed as the backup. But I really think they're going to be just pound the rock. It seems like they got a pretty big offensive line to work behind as well. And I'm a little bit of a fan of that old school, you know, just run it straight up the middle type of teams. They do it out of the shotgun more, but I'm really looking forward to this team.
Yeah, definitely a dynamic team at times a year ago, but they really never found somebody to run their offense. So for Coach Casey, what do you think that we should think about for the quarterback position for your squad?
Yeah, Noah, you know, he's a great kid on off the field, you know, and Noah's one of those type of kids. He's just a really good athlete in all the sports that he plays, and he's always been that way ever since he was a little kid. I've known Noah forever. And Noah's come out this year, and he's really done a good job in preseason practice, and he's really picking things up quick. We're throwing a lot of things at him, but he's doing a great job at it. And he throws the ball really well, and, you know, he thinks the game well, and, you know, the older guys are helping him out as well. So, I mean, it's just been a good combination for us, you know, all preseason, and just getting him ready and trying to work with him on some of the things that he might see. You know, like I said, with the older guys, they're doing a great job with him as well, and they're kind of keying him into different things. And the good thing about it is we've got some depth. We've got some guys that have played that position before, you know, with like Zach Price. He'll be our other quarterback, but at the same time, he's one of our top running backs too. So, you know, he'll have to carry the load a lot. But yet at the same time, we've got another guy back there that's been there, and they, you know, they both can kind of talk about certain things. And you know, if something happens where Noah can't go, then Zach would be a good replacement. So we've got a little bit more depth there than what we've had in the past.
So Noah Jacobson going to take over for the Trojans at the quarterback position, but his backup, Zach Price, I know you've had the opportunity to hear a little bit more about that as we get closer to Friday night. What's the outlook for the quarterback position and how they're going to work that out?
Well, this is how I look at it, and I know I drilled this point home a couple times already, but you only go as far as the quarterback takes you. Price, a talented player, even as a runner at the high school level, you can get away with a quarterback that can't throw that well if you got one that can really run. But they trust Jacobson enough to make him the new starting quarterback, and Price is the backup, and keep Price as the running back. You know, there you can draw plenty of plays to make the quarterback your main runner. Ask Tim Tebow. He made a career out of that in Florida. So, but they have enough faith in Jacobson to make him the quarterback. So he's got to be pretty good then if they're saying, okay, listen, this guy may be, you know, the better athlete, maybe the star on offense, but, you know, we're still going to keep him as the running back, and the ball is going to run through you to him.
And, you know, I think that might be the best situation that they could have for Potosi, because you have a guy like Zach Price, shifting him as a natural running back. He is a load coming through the middle. He's a between-the-tackles, smash-mouth kind of runner. And then you have, on the outside edge, Tristan Brown, who's the complete opposite. They have a true thunder and lightning package, and if Jacobson can live up to it, Potosi might be dangerous.
They certainly could be a good team, and that's also, if you're Noah Jacobson, you're going into a team that's got a good ground attack, and that is the best friend of a new or a young quarterback, is, you know, just being able to hand the ball off, because then when you run that play fake and everyone converges on the tailback that you fake it to, and you just see everything open, the linebackers bite, just drop it over their heads to your tight end, really helps when you have a great running game, especially as a young quarterback.
And for the Trojans, they will be on J98 this Friday night hosting Owensville. And Coach Casey's thoughts on their week one matchup.
Yeah, you know, I don't really know a lot about those guys. We used to play them about 5-6 years ago. That was our first game of the year every year. And then it kind of got away from that week one game. And now we're back. And like I said, I really, really don't know a lot about them. I know they've got a really good quarterback. He's going to be a junior this year. I think he threw for 2,000 yards last year and 1,000 as a freshman. So, you know, we kind of got an idea of what kind of offensive system they run. But I'm sure that kid's going to come in even better than what he was last year. So we're going to have to be really, really on our game to be able to have a good game that week one.
And you can find out if Potosi will be on their game this Friday night against Owensville. We'll get started Friday night at 6:15 with the Fleegs Equipment pregame show. That will start off our Friday nights at 6:15 for the duration of the season. And Potosi and Owensville, our J98 game this Friday. That will conclude segment three, but we have a handful of schools still to touch on. We've still got to talk about DeSoto, Festus, Hillsboro, North County, and Windsor. We'll do that in segment four of the Pigskin Preview on J98.